Well, Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
At the beginning of this new year, the church always gives us Our Lady to reflect on. And so we celebrate in the church's liturgy this morning, Mary, the Mother of God. And the church holds up Mary to us as an example of her life and her discipleship, for us to be inspired by it. I'm convinced that, you know, Mary has always been a source of peace. And I'm convinced that in this new year, we need to draw close to Our Lady more than ever. And so the church is, you know, reinforcing the fact that Mary is not an optional part of our faith. You know, there are certain pious practices in our faith that we can you know, take or leave. But Mary is not one of those. Mary is a critical element, indispensable element of our faith. Just last night, I was kind of reflecting on, you know, Mary's role and the role of the saints. And now we know that Our Lady always shows us Christ and always brings us closer to Jesus. But I was reflecting, and sometimes maybe we can think, so Mary and the saints are great aids. They help us so much in our faith. They help us in the life of holiness, of virtue, of coming to know and love God. That's what the saints are for. We're like one big family, even in heaven. You know, the saints help us. But I was thinking, you know, sometimes we might think, isn't it strange, like, shouldn't the saints, like, help us even if we don't ask for their help? I don't know why I was reflecting on this, but an image of when I was in high school, I had the privilege of serving on our town's fire department. And on Wednesdays, we would do training. And in the winter, we would do training on the ice, because we had this big kind of pond in our town. And once the ice got strong enough, we would train on it, because sometimes we'd have problems where, you know, people would go through the ice. So I remember this one night where we're out there, we're training, and they had cut a hole in the ice, and One of the senior firefighters had his wetsuit on, and he went in to simulate someone who went through the ice. And, you know, we had already gone through all the textbook stuff of what you do, how you get out there. And now it was time to put it into action. And so me and a number of guys were on land, and I had the privilege of being the guy who gets to crawl out on the ice. So you get low and you spread your body weight over the ice, and you crawl out in your suit. And then you have to jump in behind the person. Basically, you're bringing the sled with you. You have to get the sled in front of them. You jump in behind them, and you hug them to the sled. And then your team pulls you up out of the ice. As soon as I jump into the water, this senior firefighter, he immediately grabs my head and dunks me under the water. He pulls me under the water and then pulls me up. And I'm like, you know, like, it's so cold. And he's grabbing at my face and he's dunking me back under the water and stuff like that. And he was simulating how scared someone is when they fall in and they're looking to be rescued. And you get in there and they don't always cooperate. They're so eager to get out that they're trying to use you and pull you, and so he was being very difficult on purpose. And anyways, I was thinking about that when I was thinking about, you know, the saints and Our Lady. They do help us, even when we don't ask for their help. They help us to live the life of holiness. They help to try to draw us to Christ, even when we don't ask for their help. But it's much more effective when we cooperate with them. It's much more effective when we cooperate with the grace that Christ is trying to give us, and through His saints and through Our Lady. And that's, Our Lady's a powerful intercessor. So this new year, I think it should be one of our, you know, resolutions to draw closer to Our Lady, and through her to Jesus. And the reason why Mary is not an optional part of our faith is tied up in the reason, or the way that God has chosen to save His world. Our Lord did not choose to save His world by just hitting the restart button. The saints and theologians of our faith tell us that what happened in the fall was kind of like our human nature got bent and warped and distorted. And God's mode of salvation is to refashion and repair and reshape what was bent, warped, and distorted, not just to hit the restart button. So we see this in all throughout our scripture. We see, especially in the person of Jesus Christ, he is undoing certain things that were done. So one of the famous instances of this is in Genesis, Adam, our first parents, and Eve, they reach to this tree and they remove this fruit in disobedience to God's command. And it's in that moment that brokenness enters into the world. Our first parents choose to depart from God, the source of life. They choose not to listen to God and to depart from him. Now, fast forward to the New Testament, where do we find Christ? Well, we find Christ in a garden. So Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden. We find Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it's in the Garden of Gethsemane that he consents to the Father's plan. So Adam and Eve rejected the Father's plan. Christ is the one who consents to the Father's plan. You know, not what I will, but what you will be done. And Christ becomes the fruit that's placed on the tree, placed back on the tree, of the cross in this case. So we see in the plan of salvation, God, the person of Jesus Christ, succeeds where Adam failed and reshapes and reforms us through his life, death, and resurrection. So that's one instance, and that can help us see, I think, how important Mary is. Because we hear that Christ is the new Adam. Well, Mary is the new Eve. So Mary succeeds where Eve failed. And, you know, this is why Mary is so indispensable in our salvation. Because Eve, the name Eve means, you know, mother of the living. But all Eve brought us was death. Adam and Eve brought us death. In the beginning, when we go back to Genesis, we see this powerful scene of God's Spirit overshadowing the earth, hovering over creation. And then when we fast forward to the New Testament, where are we introduced to Mary? Well, we're introduced to Mary in the Annunciation, God's Spirit overshadowing Mary, hovering over Mary, the mother of the living, the mother of creation, of the new creation, the refashioned creation. And so, by God's power, Mary conceives and gives birth to, well, we know, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we heard right in the opening prayer that he goes by another name, the source of life. Mary conceives and gives birth to the source of life. This was the problem in Genesis with our first parents, is they departed from the source of life. So the struggle that we've had ever since is this brokenness, but of sin and death. But it's not something that God just punitively punished us with. It's the natural consequence of when you walk away from the source of life. You're walking towards death, towards sin. So so Mary, she conceives by the power of God the source of life, and she fulfills the name Eve. Mary becomes the mother of the living. And that's what we do in our faith. That's the great gift that Jesus Christ has given us on the cross. When we are baptized, we are woven into the family of God. We are woven into the family of the living. We are given eternal life, born again in the waters of baptism. And Mary is intimately, indispensably involved in that. And so every serious Christian, you know, should have a loving devotion to Our Lady. And she always brings us closer to Christ. And so in this new year, right, I think we really need that. I couldn't actually find who said this quote. I think it was G.K. Chesterton, but kind of sounds like him, but we'll just say it is. So G.K. Chesterton, he said, if you want to understand Christianity, if you want to understand Christianity, you should stand on your head. You should stand on your head if you want to understand Christianity. Because God, he flips our expectations of what power is. He flips our expectations of power upside down. The all-powerful one completely sort of reverses what we would think power is. And he does it in order to show his love. And we find that Mary is at the heart of this plan, this flipped expectation. One saying, he puts it like this. He says, "Mary, your mother, changed the order of things, O Lord, you who order all things. Rich in power, you came forth from Mary, poor. High above all things, you came forth from her, lowly. Radiant in majesty, you clothed yourself in our frail human form. You who give food to all came forth from Mary and knew hunger. You who give drink to all came forth from her and knew thirst. Clother of all things in beauty, you were born naked and bare." And I would add one more line. "You who are all knowing came forth from Mary and were taught by your mother." That's an interesting thing, I think. In our gospel, at the end of our gospel, at the end of our chapter, our gospel is a section of this chapter, we're going to hear something. We're going to hear that Jesus went down with Mary and Joseph and increased in wisdom and stature. At the end of our chapter. This is very interesting. Christ in his human nature was taught. In his divine nature, he had the knowledge and wisdom of God, but in his human nature, he needed to be taught. And so Jesus learns from Mary and Joseph. I always think that's beautiful. When we think about Christ, the human features of Jesus Christ were the features of Mary. We know that. But also when we think about Jesus Christ, his personality, his characteristics, his turn of phrase, they were all informed by Mary's personality and characteristics and turn of phrase and Joseph's. My professor in the seminary, he used to call this the school of Mary. Jesus was in Nazareth with Mary and Joseph at the school of Mary. And what does the school of Mary have to teach us? Well, we just heard about it in our gospel. Mary teaches us three things. So in our gospel, Mary is found by the shepherds, the infant, the child Jesus, is found by the shepherds with Mary by his side. Now that's obvious. A baby should have his mother by his side. But throughout Christ's life, Mary will be by his side. In some of the most critical moments, Mary will be by him. So Mary teaches us to stay with Jesus. And we see this in the famous art, right? You know, often when Mary's depicted, she's depicted holding the baby Jesus, kind of showing us the baby Jesus. In the Pietà, you know, after the crucifixion, Mary is depicted holding her crucified son. Mary's always depicted showing us Jesus, and that's what she does. She shows us Jesus. What else does Mary teach us? She teaches, we hear in our gospel, that Mary kept all these things and she reflected on them in her heart. So Mary teaches us to pray, but a specific type of prayer where we honestly look back over our life and we reflect and contemplate the ways God has acted in our life. And we keep those things and we turn them over. And lastly, we hear that Mary obeyed the angel. So the angel tells Mary to name the child Jesus. And right at the end of our gospel, we see that Mary and Joseph submit themselves to the law of Moses. And they name the child Jesus in accord to what the angel had revealed. They named the child Jesus. So Mary also teaches us to obey. And so, what does Mary teach us? We find Mary staying in Christ's presence. She is in constant communication with Christ in prayer. Mary follows Christ in obedience. And so it's no coincidence then, when we look at the end of Jesus' life on the cross, that Jesus looks at all of his disciples under his cross, and he says what? He says, "Behold your mother." Jesus enrolls us all in the school of Mary. Behold your mother. And to this day, right, Mary is the powerful intercessor for her children. And so we can learn, you know, from Our Lady, and she draws us closer to Jesus. So this new year, let's recommit to learn from Mary, to stay with Jesus, to pray with Jesus, and to happily follow where he leads.